last flight from Melbourne was delayed by an hour. Anyway, glad to be here, and again, thanks for joining me for this session. We are talking today about an experience that I started a few good months ago, and it evolved in different flavors. So the original title was Building an Emergency Response with a Number of Technologies, Dynamics CRM, SharePoint, Bistalk. I think there are more guys involved, not just these three. So let's get started and present the agenda for today. So this is the experience that I want to present. There is an emergency event. What happens? Can be, you know, a fire, can be an event of natural causes. Or, as I'm based in Europe, in the last months, there have been a bit of situations with terrorist attack, like the truck in Nice or the bomb in Munich. And I work for EF Education. It's an organization that runs several schools. And one of those schools was exactly in Nice, very, very close where the event happened. And we were all concerned about the safety of our staff and our students. So the system in place is basically a way to respond to an event of any nature, not necessarily a terrorist event, obviously it can be of natural causes, and prepare a kind of a dashboard for our staff, for support to respond and safeguard the security of our student and staff. So the process that I want to present today is basically starting from the event, how the Dynamics CRM and the SharePoint can communicate to each other, starting from what is the pure sales part administration in CRM, and creating this dashboard for responding to the event in the school, in the location where the event occurs, and then obviously track the location of the students and assess their status to verify that they are all safe. Right, so that's for today. We probably have to run quickly through a few slides and jump straight into the demo because I believe it's more exciting, but just 30 seconds about myself. So as I said, I'm coming to you from Europe, or more precisely from a teeny tiny country called Switzerland. In the mountains, and well, what is good about Switzerland? Let's see, someone will say probably cheese, that's right. Someone will say probably watches, absolutely right. Did someone say the secret bank accounts? That's probably very true, but also chocolate. So the Swiss premium chocolate by Lindt is here for the best questions, and not only, there are plenty for everybody. And the bad things is that I live just 5 minutes in front of the Lindt factory. Every morning, open the window. Ah, dangerous, extremely dangerous. But anyway, and as you can see from the picture, I'm also a former football player for FC Barcelona. Or should I say soccer, maybe? Not. Okay, anyway, let's carry on. Let's have a look at the data model first. So how the structure in Dynamics CRM is then prepared. You saw that we have schools, we have students, we have everything that is necessary for the sales part of it. We won't focus on the sales automation, obviously, but we'll focus more on the integration between the sales component in CRM with SharePoint using an integration tool that we'll see soon. So, don't know if visible enough, but I will show this on screen in Dynamics CRM in a second. The idea is students attend a school, they are interested to one or more programs, English beginner, English advanced, or any other languages. And they are also accommodated in a host family or in a residence. So that is completely managed in Dynamics CRM. As we enter into an event, so when there is an event, part of that structure, information that is only relevant for responding to the event, is then in some way moved to the dashboard. The dashboard is hosted on a SharePoint online site, and the reason is a portal that has to be available to a number of users, mainly staff and support operations that not necessarily sit into the CRM. So we then use a workflow for integrating some information in Dynamics and moving into SharePoint into another part of the data model that you will see on the right side is what probably wrongly we call the ROSTA, which is basically the core of the dashboard where all the students are identified with their status, and then we start tracking their status using the Azure IoT Hub, as we will see in a moment, and manage their communication via voice call, SMS, email, and we are about to introduce also communication of Skype and Facebook Messenger. We'll mention this in a moment. So let's have a look quickly at Dynamics. So it's here, I think it's coming online, just let me sign in. So this one obviously is running in a virtual machine. But that's where we are. We are pretty much in a sales dashboard. I will go quickly over it, decently visible. Let's see if I can zoom in a little bit. There you go, slightly better. Well, there is a number of programs that are available, a number of schools that are also managed by the sales department, and a number of students that I have created during my long flight, because you know I can't keep on watching the Big Bang Theory over and over again. I have to do something, so I decided to enter a few data here for in this dashboard. And if we pick a student, obviously there is some basic information, how to reach the student, how to contact, the program they are enrolled to, the school allocation, and obviously the accommodation, whether they are in a residence or in a host family. Everything is nicely organized into this dashboard or into this view, a few clicks away, because you know how these salespeople are. After three clicks, they get lost, so better to put everything into one slide, into one screen only. And that's pretty much the structure, you know? We have these entities here. We worked a bit with custom entities rather than using the standard one with, so, schools, programs, students, accommodation, and they are obviously connected to each other in a one-to-one relationship, these kind of things. But that's pretty much everything about the sales automation. Now, there is an event. What happens? We need to put this information, or at least a part of this information, into the dashboard and have operations and staff access and track the status of our students. So I can take this down for now, because I can't run two virtual machines at the same time on my poor laptop. It will suffer too much. And go into the integration part of it. Okay, so back here. The integration workflow. Now here is where we start getting a bit of the interesting part. Initially, this project started using BizTalk, that is a very good tools for integrating applications, and especially if they are on-prem, and they will have access, you know, to your CRM database and to your SharePoint and make the communication happen during the necessary transformation. As we recently moved more to the cloud. So it's Dynamics CRM Online and SharePoint Online in Office 365. We encountered a few limitations, especially in terms of running cost. And we decided to go for the Logic Apps. Logic Apps is a bit of a new model of creating workflow in the cloud, but it's very powerful because you can define entry point for any applications that are supported, obviously, and create a bit of a logic with a graphic designer. Now, this is the screenshot, and let me see, because I would like to show it live. Let me see if I can get... can I get internet access? Ah, the cable, yeah. Cable is not good. The other laptop is connected? Okay, I'll try from the other laptop. It's number one, isn't it? Five, yes. Getting there. There we go. All righty. All right, let me do this because it's actually interesting to see that live. Oh, gosh. Also, because there are a few other things I want to show on in here. So just one second that I get connected. So the Logic Apps, so in the meanwhile that we get access, we'll see something, is this new workflow. Yeah, he's asking to approve the request. okay, this may take waiting for you to approve the request. I have no idea how to approve the request. That's okay. Is there Wi-Fi? What is it? Because then if I is the ballroom internet? Sky City. Ah, this one, yes. It's not recognizing the device, right. And then he asked me for authorization, but obviously I need to. Okay, we're getting down. You got Amina? That's it?
Yep, there's no password.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a wireless connection.
Beautiful, thank you.
Yep, nice.
All right, seems we are in now, so let me get back to this signing in. All right, so Logic Apps is one of the services of Microsoft Azure. It's kind of workflow automation in the cloud. I've created this one here that has a very nice, a very intuitive visual builder for connecting different applications to each other in a proper workflow. So the triggering point is when an event is created. We will see that in SharePoint in a moment. But basically, as I go into my designer, it's on screen, it's coming, yeah. As I go into my designer, basically the workflow is when a new item is created, and I just define the site URL, this a test environment, obviously, the list where the event is defined, and then the frequency. I can make it even more quicker every minute, check when a new item is created. We'll have a look into SharePoint in a second. Then I'll do a condition. When one value is equal, so the value will be when the event start date, here we go, is equals to, and then here I can say to today. So I'll put some pseudo C# code in there. Then I have a condition, do something or if not, do something else. So if it is yes, so if the condition is verified, I can do another action. And here you can see there are a very long number of applications that you can connect. Actually, if you click on available APIs, here will show the long list of connectors that are available. So you can integrate any of the application, OneDrive, Outlook, Project, directly from the Logic Apps. What we need here is Dynamics, right? So we say, go into Dynamics CRM and get a list of all the records. And then you continue defining what is your entity, your organization. I think, let me see if it will pick up very quickly for the sake of, it's a strange name, but that's it. And then it should come up the list of all the entities defined in that organization. Here we go. Somewhere there should be students. Good news, they are in alphabetical order. Oh gosh. Where are you? No, there are no students. No, there should be students. Okay. And as you define this, so basically what's happening here is, say, if the condition is verified, connect to Dynamics, to this organization name, funny name, extract all the records in this entity. I can put more advanced options to say, okay, give me the students that match this school or this location. I can be more sophisticated. And then for each of them, do create an item in SharePoint. So I'll go back in a second, SharePoint, create an item, and then I say in that SharePoint before, that obviously is a test instance. Here we go, this one works better in SharePoint. In the roster, then create last name, first name, in this case, the first two properties, but there can be many of the item, which is the student record. We'll get into SharePoint in a moment to clarify what's happening. So in short, this workflow basically is saying when a new item is created and then when this condition is verified, extract all the records from these entities in Dynamics and then put them into a SharePoint list that we have identified. The reason for doing this is, as I mentioned briefly at the beginning, we don't want to operate in Dynamics for the emergency response, but we want to extract some information and put into an application in SharePoint for operating directly with that. So that is what the Logic Apps do. They connect to, you design your workflow, you design your integration points, put a few conditions to extract information and move into from one application to another one, and then they run continuously. We found this very convenient in terms of cost, but also in terms of performance. Because by running in Azure, we have the unlimited scalability that the cloud PaaS can offer over us maintaining an infrastructure with servers that we have to put in load balancing or that we have to scale when there is an increase of traffic. This application, the emergency response, is the kind of application that you develop. It must work because obviously there are people's life at stake, but you really hope you never use, right? But when you do have to use it, it has to work properly. So you don't want to deal with situation where some schools have even thousands. I think the larger one is in Cambridge. I believe they can accommodate up to 2,000 students. So, you know, it start getting important number of records to manage and to transfer. So you want to make sure that the application performs promptly. Alrighty. Now, in terms of the design, that's not for me. Should I answer? All right. Location. 1 sec. Should I answer? It wasn't staged. All righty. Location. Now, if you remember at the beginning, the idea was get the some information out of the CRM, put into a dashboard in SharePoint, and track location and status of the students to see if they are all safe. So that happens in SharePoint. So let's run SharePoint and see how the it looks like. Yes, I need to kill Edge Daikon because it consumes a lot of memory. Virtual machine, here we go. Okay, and the SharePoint portal, again, I'm running into a virtual machine, but now we are operating everything online. But for the sake of the demo, that is absolutely equivalent. SharePoint is a classical SharePoint theme site where we have defined the other part of the entities that we need. In SharePoint, obviously, they're called custom list. And we have, is this good enough? Make zoom just a little bit. Here we go. Where we have roster, which is the key, the core of the entities, the list in SharePoint terminology, connected to a school, students, and then the tracking of the status of the students and the communication that occurs between operators, between support and the student itself, which we'll have a look in a moment. So from an emergency perspective, we say there is an emergency in Cambridge. The school director is informed, receive a call, maybe that was the call, that there is an event, and then they enter into the form. And in SharePoint, there is a new event, when it start, and so on. So just a very, and some description, just very quickly to say that there is a new event. As we have seen with the Logic Apps, as soon as a new record in the emergency events list is created, it will trigger the workflow to go to Dynamics, extract the list of students that are in this school, and populate the roster. And the roster will go into this full screen, so it's slightly better visible, where I say that is something that happened yesterday, apparently. Road evacuation in this school in Cambridge. The police closed the road, and all people have been evacuated. A few of the students that were in our sales automation tool in the CRM now are in the dashboard in SharePoint. So what's happening here? We have some information about these students in order to contact them directly, phone number and email address, and we also have an indication of the status. By the way, you're not allowed to take picture of this because this is real data, sensitive data. I'm being recorded actually, right? Good point. No, right, that's not true. Okay, fine. So let's have a look at this guy, Alexander Miglis, danger. What is the situation here? There has been an exchange of SMS from, hi Alexander, this is Bob from EF school, are you okay? Reply yes or no. He said no. And you see, he replied a few minutes after the initial message. Another message immediately after, no answer for a few minutes, and then a call was initiated. But he couldn't reach Alex, so the status is in danger because actually we don't know where he is. Christine, hi Christine, this is Bob from EF school. Are you okay? Reply yes or no? Yes, fine. A few minutes after, 1 minute after, Christine said yes, she's marked as safe. Let's see Gabor. Gabor, here it is. He wanted to make a conversation, apparently, and then he's been called. So again, there is something happening there. What's happening with Jennifer? Jennifer never replied, so we don't know if she's all right or not. So he's put in status unknown. And let's have a look at Thomas. Thomas is an interesting situation, and I'll clarify in a moment. There is no answer on yes or no, but his status is still safe for a reason. If you look at the column, last location, now here is a negation of the road in Cambridge, and when it was detected the last time, I don't know if that is visible enough, and apologies for the American format of the date, that depends on the server, but it's 5 p.m. So every hour we have a mechanism that ping a device that we give to students and track their location. Sounds creepy, but it's useful. And for all these students has been identified at 5 p.m., except I think for one at 1 p.m. So after one, we don't know what happened to, who is this, to Jürgen. And at 5 p.m., Thomas seems to be in good condition. Here it is. Now, why Thomas that doesn't have any reply is marked no? Because he's marked as safe, actually. Because if you look at this map, let me see if it comes here nicely. Where is Thomas? So this is our school. This is where the event occurred. And Thomas is quite far away at 5 p.m. The last time the event was tracked, and the event was around that time. So there has been an assumption that Thomas, by being far away, can be near to the event. So even if he didn't reply, has been marked safe anyway. The other guys instead are a bit closer to the event, and even if they didn't reply, we marked them as unknown because exactly we don't know their conditions. So one point about the tracking the location. How do we do that? We do, let me reopen PowerPoint that I accidentally killed. We do it with some devices. Some devices like this little dongle, that you can't possibly see, but I made it bigger on the screen. And even comes in different colors, people can choose that. And it costs $5. Every time there is a registration of a new student, we give them dongle. On the back, there is a slot for a mini or micro SIM card. So it will send the signal every hour to the Azure IoT Hub. After doing the registration of the device, each device has a unique number, is assigned to a student, and they bring them with them. But because we know that people try or pretend to forget, we also have mobile apps and even an app just for fun for the Microsoft Band. Who has Microsoft Band anyway? So I don't know. Okay, let me take this out. It's shameful. By having these little devices, what happens is that they send this signal to the Azure IoT hub. We'll show you in a moment. I think it's still working and tracking information from real devices, so we should see this happening in real time. The hub does all this event tracking and then send, well, it doesn't send actually, it expose an endpoint, which is a RESTful API, for any application to consume it. So basically the process is from this little device, a signal is sent, sending as simple as the longitude and latitude of the, and the device number. By knowing the device number, we obviously know who is the student, unless they exchange the devices, but ideally they shouldn't. By longitude and latitude, we know the location on an hourly basis, and then the hub registers all this information. Some rules apply, and we will play a bit with the rules shortly, that if there is an event, for example, and the proximity of the person is within, I believe, 100 meters, then we send an alert. Or otherwise, as we have identified before with the case of Thomas, we mark as a safe. So the idea here is to introduce a bit of automation in this process, because the dashboard that was on the screen before listed, I think, 5 or 6 students. But the reality is that some schools really have hundreds, if not even thousands of students. And going through all of them as quickly as possible will require some time. So we have introduced a bit of automation using the location tracking and something else that I will tell you in a moment to identify or assess to the best knowledge of possible the status of the position of our students. Now, the good things is because of these devices are nice and funny in different colors, they can choose them and say, yeah, I want the pink one, I want the yellow, I want the red one, and they keep on forgetting all the time. Or sometimes they say, oh, I lost it. And a few months after, beep, 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 in Sweden. What happened? So, you know, so now we're trying to think about the next evolution, which will be to inject a GPS into the skin. I'm joking, okay? I'm not going to get out of this room safely. Alrighty. So this is one point. What's happening here with Thomas and company? Because they are in trouble, right? So if we go back to our hub, the location hub, which is basically our client application based on the Azure IoT. I need to show the IoT anyway. Now we are tracking all the students, where they are according to the last time we identified the location. And if we scroll down, we have all the devices that we have assigned to which student and a rule. There is only one rule, we can create additional rules. The idea of the rule is if the proximity, so we basically do, we use the Bing Maps, or the Bing API, Bing Maps API, for identifying the location of the person in a radius of 100 meters from the location of the event. If they are within the rule, then we send an action. The action is something that we need to code, so it requires some coding skills, and install into the hub to process. So if we were to change the rule, we'll basically say if it is more than 1,000 meters, it's gone so far away, and we call him back. No? Something like this. Or there is another rule, which is the heartbeat. The heartbeat can say if the heartbeat is less than one per minute, it means that the device is not sending a signal any longer, so it may malfunctioning or may be dead or just lost or whatever. So that's for the rule itself that can be changed. The action that can be executed is something that you need to code in Visual Studio, C Sharp, then install it, and then it will be executed when the rule is met. Now, these things that you are seeing on the screen is our own dashboard and very, very simple interface, because just for the sake of demoing. But on the Azure IoT suite, there is a nice and decorated graphically dashboard kindly offered by Microsoft for applying all these rules. You still need to do all the coding for the actions anyway, so that doesn't escape. So for example, let's go back to and pick one case. Let's see who is closer to the event. So the event happened here, and Gabor is somewhere around, but probably his status was safe, because here is you know, is displayed in green. But the rule is, if it is within 100 meters, it should say danger alert. So if I change his location, now in this case, I'm simulating the device. So let's say that I get him closer. There it is. You see Gabor getting a bit closer to the event. And now, because the rule has been met or violated, then his status has been highlighted as amber, because it is close within 100 meters of the event. So this is this will reflect on the dashboard for the status of Thomas. Thomas was a bit far away, and then even if he didn't reply, we said, okay, good enough for us, you're all right. Any of these little automation help to assess an initial status, but we follow up with all of them individually by trying to call and speaking to the people directly, because obviously, you know, safety is paramount, and we can't just trust the Bing Maps API, oh my goodness. Alrighty, so that is one aspect of the automation that, that we do. The other one is assessment of the status based on the communication, on the messaging. And that happens using a bot. This is a bit of a experiment in some way that we are trialing at the moment. But, and we are doing with SMS for now. We want to extend it to messages over Skype, over Facebook Messenger. And I had a conversation with the guys from Facebook a few weeks ago. They said that WhatsApp is not programmable at the moment, so there is no API to talk to WhatsApp directly. And it's a bit of a shame, because a lot of our students use WhatsApp, but there is no way to talk to WhatsApp programmatically. So we'll focus on Skype and Messenger for now. One of the next steps we want to implement is also trying to introduce a bot that talks the language of the student, because yes, they are going to learn English. This is what EF does mainly, the English courses. But you know, you want to be sure that they actually understand the message. So for this reason, we develop a bot that is super, super simple, and he asks for questions where the answer is either yes or no. So not to make it over complicated. So if we go back to the dashboard again, you will notice something funny here. The very first message that happens immediately, immediately after the event is created in the dashboard is, hi, name of the person. This is Bob from EF School. Are you okay? Reply yes or no. Hi, Christine. This is Bob. Are you okay? Yes or no. Hi, Gabo. This is Bob. Are you okay? Yes or no. So there is actually no Bob in EF that typed this message. That's the bot. And shame of us, we call the bot Bob. But we had to come up with a name. So the very first message is actually a bot that sends an SMS to the phone number of the student asking for yes or no. If they reply yes, the status is marked as safe immediately. If they don't, obviously, as in the case of Alexander, we mark the status as in danger, and then there is a second message that is sent. So I think we have only three or four messages that are sent in sequence, and they all ask an escalation of questions depending on the answer given before. So it's not, Bob is not extremely clever. He just asks, are you okay, yes or no? And then, do you know where are you now, yes or no? And then some other questions. So we're using the bot framework that is still a bit in preview. It's not fully, fully robust, but it's still an interesting way of automating some messages. So the way it works, I will show you now in Visual Studio. So we'll put a bit of code here in the demo. It never hurts. Is relatively simple because Bob is a simple guy. If you get to be more sophisticated, obviously, again, you go more into the field of artificial intelligence, but we're not that intelligent for now. So we keep it relatively simple. Now, bot framework, you say, oh gosh, developing a bot framework must be so difficult. Well, it's not, because in Visual Studio, if you just go add new project, there we go, and go into Visual C Sharp, and you scroll down, passing all these boring gray icons, suddenly you find a nice shining blue, a bot application. Now, not every Visual Studio has that. You need to install a package from NuGet, but not from NuGet, from the botframework.com website, and then you have it in Visual Studio. But that is a template. And you say, wow, I have a template to create my framework. What does it do? It creates this nice application that is a simple web API. So a bot framework is nothing else than a RESTful web service with HTTP verbs to respond to the request. More specifically, the post message. So if we go here, zoom in a little bit. If you can see, my bot app is a controller of API controller. If anybody has done web API, you will recognize the API controller being a controller of the web API. So my bot is actually a API web API controller, which exposes a post verb that accepts an input and activity. Any communication that happens between a bot and a person is an activity. An activity is made of a conversation, which contains the message itself, and a user state, which brings information about the identity of the user. Bots need authentication, so you need to register the bot into the botframework.com website. Microsoft would like also to publish the bot and make it available in directory for other organizations to use it, but you don't have to. As you create your bot, you get, you define an endpoint that where the bot is visible. If you publish it, it becomes visible in the directory and other organizations can reuse it. If you develop a bot that, is generic purpose, that it can be used for ordering pizza automatically, then you want to resell it or expose publicly into the directory. Otherwise, our bot is not public, it's all internal, but we still use the framework for making available. So if the activity is a message, create a connection. If the activity comes from the school, which is identified by the message bot, send the next message. Otherwise, if it's coming from the student, read the response of the students and understand what to do on the status of the students itself, whether yes or not. The way the send next message works It's very simple. Get the student ID from the state client. So basically, each message conveys a state. The state is brings information about which student is this message about, because obviously we need to communicate with the relevant student, and then reply to the student. The way the reply is built is relatively simple to build. Just create a class, you can call it any way you want, I just call it reply, and then define a number of reply options. Again, you can call it any way you want, but basically, these are our three sentences, so only three steps. First step, hi, placeholder. This is Bob, are you okay? Reply yes or not. So the expected answer is identified by the return value of the message, of the property, and the message to send to the person, to the student in our case, is an attribute prompt. These are our three messages, and you can see they're all return, they all accept a response of type yes and no, because this is how we have defined yes and no. Actually, these terms with offers an alternative. If they say okay, it also means yes. So here you can type a list of yup, okie dokie, blah blah blah, all the possible alternatives to yes. So this is just a way to build your vocabulary. If I had a different type of reply, I would build another enum. So I would say something like enum another reply options. Options. And then it will build the options that I accept as a reply, and then my message will have as a return value this other enum with all the possible replies. So building the sequence of sentences and responses is not complex. Once you get, it's just a different model of developing this the bot that you just have to put into the, using these attributes, this during this structure, and then the bot framework will take care of it. Alrighty. And then obviously we said we register the bot, identify the channels of communication. We're using SMS, but there is a provider that is already available by Twilio. Because we are not using Twilio, we're using some other local provider for sending SMS. The alternative is to use a direct line. Direct line is basically call any web service over HTTP. Because the integration with Twilio will require a Twilio account, and Twilio is a provider of SMS, the only alternative that we could find for sending SMS through our SMS provider is calling their own web service. The way a bot calls a web service is what they identify as a direct line. So you call directly the web service. Skype, we are experimenting a bit. And web chat, we don't really do web chat because you know, when there is an emergency, you don't really want to go on a website and chat with a student. But we use it a bit for testing, just to simulate if Bob's really understand what I'm saying. So to make an example of what I'm saying, let's go here and see Alex, okay? So Alex is in danger and say, hey, I couldn't reach Alex. Now, let's send another message, but this time the message, we send it as an operator, so it actually comes from the school itself. And say, hey, Alexander, can you please spelling, tell me if you are okay. It is really important. Reply yes or no. And now I send the message. Okay, message sender sent. Alex will receive on his mobile phone and he has to respond. So now I have that web chat here, which is a simulator of the mobile phone. So this is Alex now. Alex wants to send an SMS. This is just my own simulation. And say, yes, I'm all good. As he send yes, let me refresh the page. Here it is. First of all, yes, I'm all good comes here in the list of communication that have been sent to Alex, and his status turned to yes, because yes is the recognized reply to turn status into safe. So by at this has happened as an automatic process of communication. In this case, we have initiated the communication I type directly, so that was like an operator or someone in the school typing the message in this window here. But otherwise, the bot will be able to have the communication itself. The bot, however, stops if it doesn't receive an answer, because it means that the student is not reachable, and then there is no point of keeping the bot doing the communication. Then we move into a call, typically. So we will try to escalate. But again, this form of automation helps to at least not to verify the majority or a good part of the cases in an automatic way, and then move to manual calls for the remaining ones. So I think actually that's it, because briefly, the way the workflow that I described, the message go to the bot is a post. The bot controller is a web API, as we said. If it's coming from the school, we go into the list of the three messages that we have prepared in the application, in the bot controller, and then send the message in sequence. Because we know the student from the user state, so that is important. No? So the activity contains the conversation, which is the message itself, and the reply, and the user state. From the user state, we know who is the student, and then we know that we have already sent message one, then we need to send message two. We have sent message two, so we have to send message three. And then we go back and send the other message. If instead the message is from the student, there is a parsing of the message. If he reads yes or no at the beginning, or the alternatives okay, then we'll assess the status, as we have briefly seen in the example before. By replying yes, the status turns into green, into safe, because the bot has recognized yes as an acceptable answer. Right. End of the workflow. We started with the event. Briefly, in Dynamics, our sales dashboard extracted the information using Logic Apps, and we put into the dashboard in SharePoint. The dashboard is accessible by schools, operators, and support, actually also by salespeople that they want to inform maybe their students' parents or families. So it is a dashboard that is more accessible than the CRM itself. And then we have tracked the location and assess the status using some form of automation in terms of the GPS devices or the bot. But everything helps, but is not the final way to assess status, especially in situations where you know there are people's life at stake. It's only a way to say, out of hundreds of thousands of students, these we believe they are safe because they were away from the event or because they replied they are okay. But we always reach by phone later. So that brings us to the end of this session. I'm so glad we managed to do it. Don't forget to evaluate the session for your chance to win a Surface Pro 4 or a brand new Xbox One S. Thanks for attending, questions, and chocolate. Yes, good question. The logic apps at the moment are not very robust on that. There is a log in the logic apps in the Azure portal, but it requires some manual intervention. The operator, as the administrator, has to log in into the portal and have a look into the log. Logic apps are a bit new. Well, they are new, not bit. They are new. So it means that they're not extremely mature on all the things that, for instance, Beanstalk can offer in terms of monitoring and in terms of tracing messages. But I believe that Microsoft will progress in that direction. So good point. There is no log. Well, there is logging, but you can see the logs only on screen. You can't automate anything. Alrighty. So, thanks again. Please come, because the chocolate came from a long way and they deserve to be consumed. I will be the first one. And any questions, I'll be around. I'm actually having another session tomorrow morning about something else, about scalability of application in Azure. If you're interested, more than welcome. There will be some more chocolate. And thanks again.